When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everybody and welcome to episode 120 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And in today's show, Kelvin talks to Guy Cookson, co-founder of Respond, a simple way for online marketers to generate revenue. All coming up in Internet Marketing.
Guy, so you're the co-founder of a product called Respond. Can you explain a bit about what Respond is, what's unique about it, and kind of how that's a little bit different from what exists already in the marketplace?
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, Respond is a really simple way for online publishers to generate extra revenue. So instead of using banner ads, we use contextual call to action buttons. So for example, if you're reading an article about the latest BMW, we'll display a button underneath that says request a test drive. And then visitors to the website click the button and then go through to the BMW website, or we display an ad over the top of the page where they can complete a form or watch a video or just interact with the advertiser.
And do you think that, you know, is there a real... You know, it seems that, you know, there's this concept of banner blindness, as it were. Is this, you know, is the kind of development of this a kind of response to that kind of, trend where people...
Yeah. Well, that's exactly... I mean, the banner ad was invented in 1994, and it doesn't seem that it was particularly scientific the way that it came about. It was more a case of the space in the margins. Could we put something there that could help monetize web content? And I think the first banner ad was on a website called Hotwired, and it was for AT&T, and it had a click-through rate of 78%. So as a format, it spread like wildfire because immediately everybody thought, well, this is a way we can make lots of money. Publishers thought they were going to make a fortune. And in many ways, the banner ad fueled the first dot-com boom in the late 90s. All of these sites were expecting to make money from these ads. But there was a problem. And the problem was that every year there was quite a dramatic drop in the response rate. And it's fallen off a cliff, really. And now it's around 0.07% or less. And that problem is banner blindness. And it's really come about by eye-tracking studies by people like Jacob Nielsen have shown that people just don't look at adverts. They zone in on the content. And I know myself, when I go to a website, I'm looking for what I've come to the site for, which is, you know, the article or the form or whatever it is, but it's not the ads around the margins. And really, advertisers have spent the last sort of 15 years trying to fix this problem by making ever more interruptive formats, you know, ads that float or that play music or that expand when you go near them. Ads that appear in the content, and basically ads that are annoying. Consumers don't like them, and publishers really only use them because they have to. And so it's been almost an arms race between consumers and advertisers. As ads have become more annoying, consumers have rebelled, not just by ignoring them, but by adding ad blocker software. There's a product out there called Adblock Plus that's been downloaded 122 million times, which I think sort of says it all, really. And that just strips all ads off the page. So we decided to take a sort of totally different approach.
Do you think it's kind of it's about the interactivity or the kind of, you know, can advertisers get over banner blindness just by creating better better adverts that are more contextually relevant and actually appeal to the audience rather than try to go for a blanket catch-all approach? Do you think that's a good place to start for advertisers?
I think targeting is essential, and certainly with the product that we've developed, we've developed an algorithm that works by basically understanding the context of the page and delivering the most appropriate advertiser. But something that's quite counterintuitive is it's not always the most creative approach that works. What we looked at is actually what publishers do. When you look at the world's biggest publishers like Amazon and eBay and various other massive sites that really understand their audience and do lots of split testing, people like Google, they don't use graphical formats to drive their most important actions. They tend to use quite plain, simple call to action buttons like buy now, register, subscribe, quite simple, a simple approach, and they do it because it works. They don't use particularly graphical display ads to do these actions. So we sort of took what they were doing as inspiration for Respond, and we've kind of married that simple call to action approach, but with an ad message that's driven by the content of the page.
And that's kind of, I suppose, the big selling point, isn't it? Is that you can get this conversion, as it were, without the person even having to leave the page, as it were. So they've not had to go off to your website, and that's the kind of interesting thing. So you think that kind of almost opens up a world of like more of a CPA, cost per acquisition style of advertising, rather than the kind of cost per thousand or cost per click that seems to be more prevalent in the kind of banner world, and particularly I know that's changing with more biddable media. But do you see this kind of opening up more of a CPA style of billing?
I think absolutely. I think that's the way that the market is going. I mean, the fact that we can track clicks and impressions is okay, but knowing the fact that most people don't look at ads in the first instance means that impressions are almost meaningless. So really the only thing that matters is, are you taking payment? Or, have you made a sale? Or have you increased your registrations? Or whatever your actual end objective is. And that's what we've tried to do with Respond, is focus really on what is the client's ultimate objective and charge for that, not charge for all the bits that might lead up to that ultimately. We work purely on a CPA basis.
And I can see that working for a kind of like a lead gen kind of business, where it's kind of, like saying the BMW garage, where it's a book a test drive, or maybe a kind of, someone's, paying for an email address, for want of a better description. Do you think that we'd ever get to the kind of point in time where almost you kind of have like you hear a lot about kind of F-commerce at the moment, so Facebook selling. Do you think we could reach the point in time where people are almost buying products within adverts on other websites, as it were? Or is that kind of probably a bit far-fetched? And
no, I think that's exactly where we are. I mean, that's ultimately where we're going with Respond, which is that people click the call to action button and then shown the ad as an overlay over the existing page. And from within that space, what we can create is basically a microsite for the advertiser. So rather than taking somebody to a landing page on another site, which means it opening in a new window and waiting for that new page to load, however fast it loads, it's still an interruption for what you were originally doing. With Respond, you can click the button and actually interact with the advertiser there and then within a space. And that space can contain, it's a blank canvas for the advertiser, so it could contain video, sign-up forms, all the things that they would have in their main website.
Because there's lots of interweaving trends here, so I'm kind of quite interested in, coming from a search background, so therefore quite interested in pay-per-click. There's the whole world of remarketing, whereas if someone's visited your site, if there's a cookie been dropped there, you can show the adverts again. Is that kind of, is this kind of personalization having quite a lot to do with the kind of greater interactivity? Do you think that the two are separate trends, or are they very much part of the same movement?
I think it's all part of the same movement, which is towards relevancy for the user. I mean, there's a trend against waste, which I think is essential, because it's very easy to spend a vast amount of money using tools like Google AdWords, for example. It's not difficult to sink significant sums of money into that tool, although it's all about, of course, using it well and making sure that you've got the right keywords and creating the right campaigns. With Respond and other products out there, I think the trend is definitely towards trying to make it easier and easier for people to deliver the right ads to the right people in the right place. Context is everything still, because of course if you've just read an article about something, you're primed and ready to act if the correct advert is there.
And this sounds like great news for the advertisers. They're getting better adverts that people are more likely to respond to. They're only maybe paying on an acquisition model rather than an impression model. Sounds like pretty good news for the consumer as well, because the adverts, hopefully, like we say, more relevant, they're more useful, and kind of hopefully it makes the experience of adverts a bit easier. Is it such good news for the publishers though?
Yeah, we really designed this with a publisher in mind. This is only going to work if we get publishers to really buy into it, and fortunately they are doing, and they're doing so because we've made it very, very easy for them to integrate with their sites. We're saying to publishers that this is as easy to add as the Facebook like button or the discuss commenting engine or add this. It's just a few lines of code, and that's all they have to do. And from that point onwards, the button will be displayed. The right, you know, relevant buttons will be displayed on each page. We've also done it in a way that doesn't require them to remove any of their existing advertising. So we're not saying take your banners off or take Google AdSense off. Leave any existing advertising that you have on the page and add this in as an extra. So, you know, there's no risk for the publisher. And the implementation, I can't stress enough, is important because a lot of publishers we've spoken to have bought into other ad platforms, but then the stumbling block has been integration where they need to do design changes or they need to get their development team to do some work. With this, it's really simple. It's just a few lines of code, and then from that point onwards, it works.
And do you think that integration has been a big part of the problem, you know, a big challenge for other kind of advertising industry? Because, you know, as a search person, not as familiar with the kind of different networks and ad exchanges and, you know, all the kind of networks behind all that. But to me, it seems hugely complex, a fragmented market with lots of different options, you know, some very much aim, you know, and, you know, Do you go for an AdSense? Do you go for AdSense with double click? Do you then go, you know, it sounds complicated to me. And I'm sure if you're, you know, in that industry, it all seems very natural. But do you think that kind of fragmentation does anyone any favours?
It can be certainly difficult for the publisher to decide which options to take. I mean, you've got most of the market is focused on the same old formats, really, of display advertising. It just depends which network you want to use. So we're kind of stepping outside of that and saying, continue to do that by all means, but this is something new and different. Then you've got advertising that kind of exists almost within the content itself. And that's fine for some publishers are happy with that, but others want to keep the editorial and the advertising separate. And this is, again, where we hope Respond sort of solves that problem, because although it's related to the content and it's relevant to the content, it's not in the content itself, so it's still maintaining the integrity of the editorial, which I think is important to quite a lot of publishers, and rightly so.
And in terms of generating that contextual relevance, is that kind of done on a keyword level, or is it done on a kind of demographic level, or how is that kind of targeting taking place?
It works on our algorithm. Our algorithm uses keywords to understand the content of the page, and a various sort of ranking method to understand which keywords are more important than others. And in fact, we're doing some work with a professor at the moment at Lancaster University. He's a bit of an expert in this area. That's really helping us to enhance the algorithm further. But we also are working in elements of demographic data and also understanding where the user's located. So we're trying to, what we're essentially doing is taking as many signals as we can to deliver the most relevant button for each page to that particular user.
And I mean, it you know, it seems that there's the you know, in terms of Google with their understanding of search and Facebook with their potential demographic information there, you know, there's a real potential, isn't there, that they could kind of really dominate the advertising space, given that, you know, between those two different websites, you know, how much of search, you know, sorry, of internet use is kind of, you're either on Google, you're either on a website that's powered by AdSense, or you're on Facebook. Do you think that, you know, is that a good thing, or is that a negative thing, that kind of market monopoly dominance that these two companies seem to have and seem to be heading in a direction of having even more, you know, share of the market and share of the adverts running through their various systems?
I mean, I think there's always going to, it's not a zero-sum game, and there's always going to be space for new innovations and new players in the market. There will always be people that go to a variety of different websites each day. And of course, most of us have Facebook open in one browser tab, but we also visit other websites throughout the day as well. So I don't think that people are going to look to just one or two companies for their revenue model. Google obviously have some great products out there for publishers, and they work well, and they will continue to be popular. And Facebook is becoming a great place for advertisers to use to generate new customers. But there's always going to be hundreds of millions of independent or even large groups of publishers that are out there that want to use and try new models. I think there's a massive opportunity there still, just because of the breadth and the size of the market is vast. It's too big for any one or two companies to dominate.
And in terms of these kind of more call to action driven adverts that Respond seems to kind of you know, be part of there, are there particular types of advertisers that it works well for? Or, you know,
We've got campaigns running now for such a wide variety, from sort of Nike and Disney, Oxfam, Play.com, Dell, EA, Vodafone, Nokia, some really big brands, and they're all in different sort of sectors. To be honest, because they all are looking at slightly different objectives, it all seems to work quite well for each one. It really just depends on the kind of campaign they want. So for some, it's about a direct response campaign. The automotive companies want, you know, like I say, brochure requests or test drive requests. And then you've got, you know, on a sort of entertainment space, they're looking more just to engage people and show them a video or take them through to their site and have them kind of experience their site. And others are sort of retail-based clients looking for, obviously looking for sales. So there's not really a particular sector that works better than others. They're all looking for slightly different things from it.
And are they getting kind of slightly different results? Is there a benchmark there for, you know, because you can kind of say, okay, well, here's a good, you know, click-through rate for an advert, or here's a good kind of conversion rate from an advert. Is there any kind of, you know, stats that you can share about how these kind of more interactive, you know, adverts compare to more traditional banners, you know, more basic ones?
Well, the feedback that we're getting from clients is that they're getting consistently a much better response than they do for their other sort of traditional formats, so particularly banner ads, but even text ads as well. And we don't have a kind of average yet to share as such, but we just know from speaking to clients that they're very, very happy with the performance, particularly in comparison to the other channels that are available to them.
And I suppose if it's working well, there's going to be a premium that can be charged for that, isn't there? If a type of advertising is successful, its value goes up, doesn't it, and reaches a kind of market point where everyone's getting value from it, but everyone's kind of benefiting as well.
Yeah, I mean, the way that Respawn works, the idea is that everybody basically wins, because of course the publisher generates revenue, and we share the majority of what we make with the publisher where the action took place. So the publisher gets 70% of the revenue that we take from the advertiser, and obviously the advertiser is only paying when they successfully make a sale or achieve a registration, or they get somebody to subscribe to their service, whatever their objective is. So in effect, they are only paying for success. Everybody in the kind of chain gets something from it.
And in terms of a more general question, I don't know to what extent it will affect Respawn, but there seems to be, you know, going through at the moment the changes in the cookie laws, as it were, and particularly in the kind of remarketing side of display advertising. That's going to potentially have quite a big impact. What's your kind of impression of, you know, is the EU taking a kind of a not very good attitude to dealing with advertising? Is it going to affect a lot of these exciting developments that we're seeing that, you know, should help the consumer because they're getting better adverts? Do you think that's kind of a good move, you know, a bad move that they're making with some of these changes to the regulations around cookies and the like?
I think it's going to be incredibly difficult to actually untangle what is meant by tracking. Some of the browsers, not yet Google Chrome, but some of the browsers have now a do not track option, but it's not quite clear what that really means. Do they mean that they don't, that if a user opts into that, does that mean they're not going to see a customized website, that they're not going to see adverts that are tailored to them? I think there needs to be a better understanding of exactly what they're trying to achieve with the legislation. In terms of Respawn, we actually don't track users. We base it purely off the relevance of that particular page and the information that we know about the user in that particular session. And we don't sort of follow users around, but obviously a lot of ad solutions do. I think it's going to end up being a kind of compromise whereby people can opt out via the browser to receiving personalized ads. But, you know, I think when you speak to most consumers, they actually prefer to see customized ads than completely random ones, although obviously there are concerns about privacy that need to be dealt with. But it's not a simple issue, and it's going to probably take a good few years to really resolve.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, exciting, because I can see where the legislators are coming from, and that, you know, I can very much, I think they have good intentions, but I don't think that necessarily the solution is going to solve the problem that they're trying to solve there.
No, that's right.
Cool. Well, fantastic, guys. Some really interesting developments going on in the world of display advertising, one that we probably ought to cover a little bit more frequently on the Internet Marketing Podcast. So really enjoyed speaking to you. And hopefully people can go out and see some of the interesting things Respawn are doing and have a look at what the future of banner advertising might well be.
Fantastic. Great to speak to you.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White is signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.